Tori Kelly and Colours of the Wind, I have to say. Like slower Disney songs and acoustic versions are my favourites, one of mine there. Now, joined in the studio by Abigail Moriarty, Professor Abigail Moriarty, Pro Vice Chancellor here at the University of Lincoln for Education and Students. And you are on your 20th day at uni?
Oh, Chris, no, only day 19. Oh. So, but yes, a possible veteran by day 19.
First off, tell us a little bit about your background for anyone wondering.
Well, I'm a very proud nurse and started my career in nursing practice. I did my degree in nursing at a university not very far from here in Leicester and worked in clinical practice within gynaecology and women's health. And then came to a bit of a crux in supporting student nurses on the ward. And I felt that I'd got a real affinity with student learning and supporting students. And I had a foot in both camps for a while, both in education and in practice. I did a teaching degree because teaching is a skill, it's an art, it's not something that you can fall into. And I eventually became a full-time educator. But in my heart, my practice is always nursing. So I call myself a pracademic, which means I'm a professional in practice, but I'm also an academic. And delighted to be here at Lincoln.
Were you tempted during the pandemic to go back to the NHS and help them out during that?
Yeah, I mean, I did that through supporting students to be able to do that as well. And at the time of the pandemic, I was a PVC for learning and teaching at the University of Sunderland. So my heart and was absolutely with colleagues that are working on the front line. And I was more prioritising the student learning at university at that time and the whole pivot to online learning, supporting students, their well-being and so on. So that was relatively new into my previous PVC role, but came out of that the other side.
And what are some things you've achieved so far during your career in education?
I don't think it's my successes or achievements today. I would say it's the successes of the universities that I have worked for, because I'm one person of a cog in lots of different ways. And I would say that is illustrated by the student success. And I worked at De Montfort University in Leicester, and the university got a TEF Gold, which was the 2019 kind of version of TEF. And that was because of excellent student support, and I was really proud to be a part of that. And in Sunderland, I'd be very proud of how the Students' Union has performed and how the Students' Union and the universities work really closely together. So I would say it's small achievements that are of others that I'm most proud of rather than my individual achievement. However, I have to say it was a personal shout out when I became a professor, because having a Professor Moriarty has a comedy value as well as being an arch villain from Sherlock Holmes. So I do think that's something that I'm very proud of.
And I have to say, you're not a villain at all.
Oh, well, thank you, Chris.
And as the PVC for Education and Students, how do you hope to develop student experience further here at the university?
I am really interested in individualised experience, and we haven't got a homogenous student cohort. So when colleagues or the press hark back to the golden age of the normal student experience, I'm really challenged to know what the normal student is, because in my mind there isn't anybody. And we have young students, straight from A-levels, mature students, international students, students with caring responsibilities, students with mental health concerns, learning differences. And that is the normal student. That's that mishmash of different individualities make up our population. So I am really eager to understand what challenges those students. And some of those challenges might be of our own making as a university. And for me and the university to listen and to be able to respond to that. And I'm wanting for students to be the centre of everything we do at the university. way, and for everybody to recognise they are the most valued asset we have.
So you mentioned the University in Leicester, you mentioned the University of Sunderland. What's made you choose the University of Lincoln now?
So a couple of reasons is I have been incredibly privileged during my career to work at universities that have had a transformational impact on students. And I was, to be fair, really happy at Sunderland, and I do miss my colleagues at Sunderland. But I got an opportunity to come to an open day at the University of Lincoln. And I don't live that far away, actually. I'm a relatively local, 30-odd miles away. And I came to an open day and, to be honest, Chris, I had my breath taken away. And because it wasn't the very lovely building campuses and the environment, it was the people I spoke to. That was the students here that were looking to talk about their experience, the staff, the students' union. And I went away inspired. And so when I applied for the position, a competitive position, I came to the table about what I could offer the university. And there are challenges in higher education, as we know, but I wanted to be able to offer transformational change is used very glibly, isn't it? It's something that politicians come out. But I think what we do at the university transforms students' lives, and I want to support that further, make it even better, and take students and staff along with me.
And you mentioned, obviously, you felt welcome. You felt I found when I was a student here that Lincoln is such a welcoming place. So you've made a good choice based on that. Community and civic engagement is part of the university's strategy. How do you intend to get students working alongside our fantastic Lincoln community to create a thriving future for Lincoln, Lincolnshire and beyond?
We are a unique university. We are a relatively new university. But we are a university that was developed by the people of Lincoln. So this wasn't a government initiative 30, 40 years ago about, oh, let's look where we can build a new university. How can we merge a couple of colleges together and so on? This was a genuine request and plea and want from the people of Lincoln and Lincolnshire. And what we do at the University of Lincoln has to and does include those people. Now, some of those people have got older, but new generations. And how the university, and as you walk around the city, is felt everywhere. Whether you go up Steep Hill, you're at the cathedral, you're walking around, you see the signs, you see students are part of the community and not a separate part, but an integral part. And we have got challenges within the county. We've got some rural health deprivation. And so how can the university work with those areas about developing health provision? So obviously we have our medical school. And the very reason we've got a medical school in Lincoln is because it is recognised that rural areas have some of the biggest challenges in medical access. So why not have our doctors and nurses that we have and other healthcare professionals from Lincoln serving the people of Lincoln? And that dialogue needs to happen. And what I see from international students coming to the university is that they see Lincoln as a second home. And if a region can welcome students from around the globe in such a positive manner, then we are doing something very, very right.
And you mentioned about, you know, people seeing the university by the cathedral. They do every year for the graduations. You very quickly got involved in one of those, didn't you? How did you find our graduation ceremonies?
Yeah, so that was on day six, Chris, that I was part of the graduations. And I was given a tour of the cathedral by the Vice Chancellor to just kind of walk me through what was expected. And there was a moment where I had a huge intake of breath, because you walk into that magnificent space and you can just feel the history. Whether you are a history buff or not, you are surrounded by so many stories. I mean, our students are linked to that. You know, we have programs that are intrinsically linked to the history, medieval history, you know, the architecture and so on. But I felt very privileged. But even more so is when I sat on that stage and I saw, you know, hundreds and hundreds of graduands and family and friends really being inspired about crossing that stage and having their moment, because that's what it's about. The graduations is about our graduands and their families celebrating that success. So I had a great time, thank you, and I'm looking forward to the next time in September.
That's wonderful. After everything you've achieved in your career so far, what do you hope to achieve here at the University of Lincoln?
I want Lincoln to be the best university it can be. I'm not a fan of league tables, but I want the student experience at Lincoln to be the very best in the sector. And I don't think we're far from it. We've got, you know, insight. We've got a lot of collaboration already happening. And I want the can-do attitude that is very evident in Lincoln and the population. We can do this. And I want to take students with me and for them to be able to say, this has been an experience of a lifetime.
And you mentioned off air that you're a fan of audiobooks. Do you like listening to radio and podcasts too? Do you think there's a place for them in society? And what are some of your favourites?
Well, in my previous commute, which was 2.5 hours, 123 miles, I've become almost addicted to audiobooks. And I do love a crime drama. So I like reading books and then listening to the audio. I am immersed in the characterisation of voices. So I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. However, I am transported away by Stephen Fry in the audiobooks.
He's amazing, isn't he, with audiobooks?
His narrative and his tone. And I must have listened to all of the Harry Potter books on audio and read the books dozens of times. And they're my go-to. But equally, yeah, I'm a fan of podcasts, particularly humorous ones. I'm also a huge fan of yoga audible. So there is something called Yoga Nidra, which is a relaxation audio approach to yoga. And I would encourage anybody to have a go at Yoga Nidra.
And we'll have a few more questions, some more lighter ones after a bit of music now. And it is Surface Pressure from Encanto, but sung by Sam Sui.
Follow Siren on Twitter at Siren FM.
I'm the strong one, I'm not nervous.
Take no pressure.
Surface Pressure from Encanto, one of my favourite Disney films. And I'm still joined in the studio by Professor Abigail Moriarty, Pro-Vice-Chancellor here at the University of Lincoln on her 19th day, not 20th, no, as 19th. I said earlier. And we've kind of gone through the tougher questions. These are the questions that I think you can really tell someone's personality from. So it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be any tougher. Question one, radio or podcasts?
Radio.
Pepsi or cola?
Neither.
Neither? Okay. Tea or coffee?
Neither.
If you were stuck on a desert island, what item and what one celebrity would you take with you?
I would take my yoga mat and I would take Jason Momoa.
Okay. I can imagine. If you could only eat one item of food for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Strawberries.
Why?
Because I love strawberries.
Even though you wouldn't have sugar or chocolate?
No,
to go
I
with
can
them.
Eat strawberries. Yes.
You like an e-book? Recommend a good one to the listener. You mentioned crime earlier. Is there a specific title of one?
So there is what's called the Dublin Trilogy, which is by Caoimhe MacDonald, which is Caoimhe is a Irish comedian that started writing, I think, pre-pandemic, and he has an hilarious series of crime capers, and the leading character is called Bunny, which is a perfect reason why to listen to it.
And what is your favourite season?
Spring. So just coming out of it now. Just coming out of it now. I love the sunshine and things, but I do like the winter turning into spring and the colour and everything coming alive.
Savoury or sweet?
Savoury.
You're a savoury person.
I am. But I do have particular sweet tendencies and things.
And you mentioned you've got pets.
I do.
Cats and dogs. What's their names?
OK, so I have a 8-month-old Dachshund who is called Marvin Bernard, and he's adorable. I have a 12-year-old golden beagle, lemon beagle, that's called Morgan hyphen Rose. The hyphen is incredibly important. And then I have two boy cats that are brothers called Norman and Jeffrey.
If you could have any other pets, what pet would you have?
A pygmy goat, Chris.
A pygmy goat?
A pygmy goat, yes.
Interesting choice. Why?
Because I just think they're adorable. I would have several of them, and possibly a couple of donkeys as well.
Thank you for your time today. It's been really good to get to know the new Pro Vice Chancellor here at the University of Lincoln. Up next, Bella Notte from Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, there.